Hello, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Find Your Finish Line. I'm Mike Riley. And you know, we've always been told that it's all about the bike. Why is that? Because my guest today in 2017 and 18 disproved that. He disproved it last year in Nice, too. And you're going to hear his story of how those running legs take him to where he wants to go. Everybody, I've talked about Tri-Dot training. One of the best training programs out there for age groupers and coaches. Coaches like Mark Allen, McKeely Jones, Tim O'Donnell, Marinda Carfrae, finding out that coaching athletes helps them save time and get them to the finish line in a much better fashion. Check it out, tridot.com. Join me every month for the inspiration to find your finish line. He is a two-time world champion. In 2017, he went 801 in Kona, and then in 2018, was the first person ever to break that eight-hour barrier by going 752, doing it on the run, as I talked about earlier. Last year, he was second at Roth. He was second at Nice at the World Championship. Guten Tag, wie geht's? Patrick Langer from Germany.
Hallo, danke, es geht mir gut. No, I'm fine. Great to talk to you again, Mike. Pleasure to be on the show.
Always, Patrick. You know, from the very first time I met you back in Kona when you took a third place, and that's one of my most coveted stories ever, when you broke the run course record and Mark Allen was standing there, and I went to take you over to Mark, and you were so shy, so embarrassed that, oh my gosh, I broke Mark Allen's run course record. It's almost like you wanted to do it, but it was almost like you were really embarrassed, weren't you?
Indeed. Like at the time when I crossed the finish line, I didn't notice straight away that I broke this, I think it was 27-year-old course record. And when you announced it in your unique Mike Riley way that I also knew just from television, man. I mean, you're the legend of the speakers. And here he's saying that I was literally standing right in front of him. And you said, oh, my God, you guys, you know what just happened. And I looked him into the eyes and he was his Mark Allen, calm and friendly, smiling face, looked me in the eyes and said, Patrick, it's okay. I knew it's going to be broken. And I was just, I was apologizing for it because it just felt right. And ever since that, I'm glad to, call Mark a friend, and we talk regularly.
Yeah.
And it's great. It was a great moment. So thanks for sharing that.
And one of my most prized possessions in the book, Patrick, when you finished one year, you grabbed me by the face as I was calling you. I'm calling you an Ironman world champion, and you've got your hand on my face. I go, oh my gosh, that is so sweet. You were so...
Yeah, you know,
we call it real.
These words out of your mouth, like I was chasing them my whole life, and they inspired me to go into the sport. And these words, you are an Ironman world champion, is just, yeah, it gives me goosebumps right now, because it's definitely still one of the big driving forces in my life. And to hear that out of your mouth was just incredible. And I literally wanted to kiss you, but I did not.
that would have been okay. And you never know. Maybe I'll say those words to you again one day. We'll just keep it at that. So my first question usually on Find Your Finish Line, Patrick, is, to all my guests, what kind of workout did you get in today?
I did a 5K swim, 5.2K, 1.5 hour swim.
Wow.
nothing crazy. Obviously, yeah, I'm in the training camp in Mallorca, beautiful Mallorca, looking out, the sun is shining, slight breeze. And of course, those rest days kind of are always very welcome to do great interviews with great people. So this is kind of my rest day. So my only training session for today is a 5K swim. Yeah, so nothing spectacular.
Well, what about why do you choose Mallorca? Why do you choose Mallorca for your winter training ground as you have?
I think you wouldn't ask that question if you been to Mallorca. I don't think so.
Yeah, I know. Well, remember, I live in San Diego, so I know what good weather is all about.
Okay, you know? That's obviously a big point. You know, me coming from Germany, the winters are dark, rainy, cold. So for us, is Spain is the main destination, and obviously the second option next to Mallorca are the Canaries. But I always feel the Canaries, yeah, they have like 3-4 loops you can ride on your bike, and Mallorca is a completely different to it. So among the Europeans is the most favorite island for riding bikes. So it is just incredible. The cars are mostly friendly, much more friendly than in Germany. And no, you have everything. You have hills, you have flat courses, you have beautiful weather. So you should check it out, because it's obviously amazing. Also more and more American tourists are coming. I think there is this direct flight from New York now that's new. So it's a great place, and obviously the weather makes training so much easier.
Patrick, do you most of your training I see on social media, you're riding with a group of people or running with some other people. Do you ever like going out and just doing something on your own?
Yeah, absolutely. This is really important. Obviously, I am a little bit old-fashioned, so I don't run around and filming myself in selfie mode all the time, because when I'm training, I'm focusing on my job, I'm focusing on training, and so obviously the most content that we create is filming by if someone else is around. So this this might attract the
You know what I love about your posts, even though you're probably hurting because you're riding hard or running hard, you always look like you're having a good time, making fun of your friends and waving and the whole deal. Sometimes I think, say you're on a 150K ride, the only time you might be smiling is when you're on the camera. The other times you might be hurting.
No, I'm honestly, Mike, I'm enjoying my job, and I'm super grateful to have been given the chance to chase my dreams. And so, of course, you know, having fun along the way is not forbidden. So I enjoy that as much as I can, to be honest.
Good. I like hearing that. Patrick, take us back to 2009 when you took a third at the under 23 German National Championships. Whoa. Did you ever think way back then that you would go on a journey of an Ironman journey and become a world champion? Did that even come into your mind back in 2009?
Yes, it did. In all honesty, it did. But because you're going so ways back, I didn't knew back at that time how hard it will be. So I honestly thought, that's, you know, let's do that. No, I honestly, I always dreamt about competing in Kona. That's what got me into sport in the first place. So back in, I think it was 97, Thomas Hellriegel was the first German to ever win the Ironman mm-hmm. World Championships. And that's actually where I saw for the first time in television those crazy bunch of people doing this crazy sport on a very hot and very, very far away island. And it just hooked me straight away. I could feel every time when I was playing soccer with my friends, every time I went out on a bike ride with my school friends, that they were tired so much faster than I was. And the longer I couldn't sprint, I couldn't throw things, I couldn't jump really good. I was kind of always the slowest when it comes down to explosive stuff. But the longer the training or the exercise went, the better I got. And I always loved to win. So that what got me into endurance sport. Obviously, my father was also a marathon runner. He was not a professional, but he was, I think he ran a 3:00:20 once. So I remember that he always wanted to break the 3-hour barrier. Unfortunately, didn't make it, just really close in Berlin Marathon. But, you know, that this TV documentary about Thomas Hellriegel in Kona really lit me up, and I was all in. So I started my endurance career, and along the way, I really committed to triathlon. So,
It's interesting because so many people are inspired by what they see, but they really don't know what they're getting into because the distance is so hard. Kona is so hard and training is hard, especially for you professionals, the pros. What you guys and gals go through just amazes me. So what motivates Patrick Lange to get out of bed in the morning and keep doing it over and over and over again? What motivates you to do that?
The visualization of me with the Hakule sitting on the beach in Kona and having that feeling again of being world champion, enjoying a cold beer, and just have proven the world that I can do it again. It's that simple.
I love that.
You know, it's like I'm absolutely convinced that I can do it again, and I keep improving myself despite my experienced age, let's say it this way, turning 38 this year, which is obviously compared to the young generations coming up, is not the youngest anymore. But I think I've proven in these that I can give those guys still a good run for their money. And that's what really gets me out of bed. You know, those, and there are so many great races that just give me goosebumps when I think about it. And especially going into this year, this 24 year, it's gonna be so exciting for me, because there are many races that, you know, I have chosen my race schedule by which races give me the most excitement. And with the Ironman Pro Series, I think it's a great opportunity to have a racing series that like combines all the greatest races of Ironman. And there are so many that like really excites me and really give me goosebumps when I think about it. So I'm all in for this year again.
Yeah, it'll be fantastic to see you at, here in Oceanside in San Diego County. 3 weeks or less than, about 3 weeks, 4 weeks from now. And would Oceanside, because it's a 70.3, Patrick, would that be a good test for you? Because that's a speed race, and you know there's going to be a lot of professional men there that can ride and run fast, do the combination of the ride and run. Do you look at Oceanside as a test, or do you look at Oceanside like, you know, doggone it, I want to win that race?
I always go into the races and want to win it. That's definitely a driving force. I'm not the one to go into a race and say, okay, I'm happy with 10th place. That's definitely not my approach to racing. But on the other hand, I am realistic enough that my strength is within the Ironman distance. Absolutely. The results show that pretty clearly. But, you know, it is a great test among super fast athletes. And I think this race in Oceanside has, for me, the special purpose to serve as a really, really hard test for Ironman Texas. But I think, you know, if I can, play my cards perform at the level which I'm capable of. I mean, I have also won 70.3 races in the past. So I think it's definitely possible to be in the mix and fight for the podium, maybe for the win. So that's my target.
It's going to be fantastic to see you there. When I was looking at your schedule, you've got the Ironman Texas after Oceanside. Then the next one you listed was Frankfurt, Ironman Frankfurt. Well, that's kind of a long gap between, what, April and July. Is there anything in between there that you haven't decided on that you might race?
Yeah, you looked into the details really, really carefully. There is another race in that period, but I'm not allowed to talk about it right now.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's right. I'm sorry.
There are contractual obligations in place, and I can't talk. But maybe.
Okay.
We will
maybe
see.
All right. Maybe is good enough. All right, everybody. Everybody. You just all heard a maybe, okay, from Patrick, and a maybe from me. So, you know, Patrick, one of my other fantastic memories with you, one, when we did the Ironman Foundation Gala in New York City, and you came in,
that was great.
Julia, and you came in. That was a wonderful time. The other time was Ironman Tulsa, because it was a very emotional race for you in 2021, and you had a tremendous day going like 7:45, and you dedicated it to your mom, who passed away during the pandemic of cancer. That was a very special moment for, I think, everybody that was there watching it. Did that, when you were racing, give us a little bit of your emotions when you were doing what you do for a living, but yet thinking about mom.
Yeah, the thought of my mom comes to my mind almost in every training session, you know. I made a promise to her that I will keep fighting. I will keep continuing to race as hard as I can and be successful and bring home victories for her. You know, that was maybe one of the good, memories that we could create, because obviously something different if someone dies in a car accident, or if you are able to spend some more weeks together and talk about everything. So that was kind of the last few words that I exchanged with her, and I'm still striving to make her proud, more or less. And that's a big motivation for me, and especially the race after Tulsa. You know, after the pandemic, it was the first big race where, every a professional was racing. I simply could prove a point, and I think, was really emotional and really proud that in the first race after I gave this promise to her, I could, could do that, and
do what you do. So you, with Nice last year, tremendous race, going 8:10, having a great run. Obviously a different course than Kona, different topography, the climbs and the descents on the bike. But you were really, you were less than 4 minutes behind, the champion Sam Laidlaw. Do you look back at all and go, you know, this is what I could have done differently, or this is what I could have done differently and made up those 4 minutes?
Yes, of course. I wouldn't be, it's maybe a little bit the German side of me. I'm absolutely with my coach and with my team. Obviously, we sat down, and everybody who is in my team wants to help me get back the Ironman World Championship title, and we want to win the third star together. So we sat down and had a really deep analysis of this really good race for me, to be honest. Like, I executed my best ever watts on the bike. I think I also played, I rode a tactical, really clever race. I attacked in the end on the last uphill. I took all the risks in the descent, in the downhill. We were there in the months before the race and had a really, really deep look into the course, like did a lot of course reckon. And I think, yeah, the race was really well executed for me. But of course, we looked into the details and said, okay, what could we have done better? And obviously, Sam did an amazing job on the bike. He attacked where we did not expect him to attack. We were pretty sure that the first major gap would be created on the Col de Vence, so in the first long uphill. And he decided to do different. He really opened up the gap on the big plateau. So we were not calculating with that. And obviously also the communication on the plateau is not really good because it's so far into the backcountry. You don't have any team or staff members there, so you don't really get a feeling for the gaps. And he opened the gap really technically smart, I think. And after I tried everything with my run, I wasn't fast enough to catch him. But to answer your question, yes, we definitely saw the potential in the swim. So I changed swim coaches. I'm now swimming with professional swimmers. Have a coach with a new idea of training. So I swim a lot more. that's for sure. a lot harder, and it shows some progress already. So I'm really looking forward for standing on the start line and kind of being more secure in the feeling of making the front pack or even gapping other important athletes. So so to answer your question in short, I think in the swim is room for improvement. On the bike and on the run, I was really happy.
tremendous run as always. You know, in 2019, there was such a build up to that race in Kona, Patrick. I remember it vividly. Jan Frodeno versus Patrick Lange versus Jan Frodeno, the two Germans going toe to toe. And the Ironman game's a mental game. And a lot of times that if you can't handle that, especially after you having to drop out in 2019 because you were sick, how'd you handle that after the race mentally? I mean, because you got to get yourself back up on the horse and go, you know what? It's not over. It was just a tough day. How'd you handle that mentally? What do you do to handle that?
2019 was a really difficult year for me because it's been the year where my mother got diagnosed with cancer. And we all know that, you know, as a defending champion, it's always harder to compete. So there were certain things playing into my mind and into my mental situation. But obviously, the situation with my mom was the most pressing and the most, that you know, was holding me down simply. And I did not want to talk publicly about her sickness, mm-hmm. because I knew she was also reading the newspaper. She was listening to the podcast, and I didn't want her make her feel bad or responsible for my bad performances. But for me as an emotional person, it was probably the toughest time of my life, to be honest, because just triathlon seemed to be so small. And how can you go into a race and banging your chest and say, oh, I will beat you, I will become world champion, if you deep down inside of you think, honestly, like, fuck it. That's really not important. And the climax of this situation was at Ironman Frankfurt, to be honest, because my mom got treatment in Frankfurt, so the cancer treatment, and she was getting treatment when Ironman Frankfurt was in town. So in the end, I visited her in the hospital in the race week, spent as much time as possible sitting next to her bed. And, you know, I was going from the hospital to the press conference, and we all know Jan. I mean, he is such a racer. He can sense if there is some weakness in his competition, and he obviously didn't know what was really going on, but he could sense this little insecureness and this weakness. And we were, yeah, he kind of put me in the spot and put pressure on me, and I was just, I mean, I couldn't talk about it what was really going on, and mm-hmm. so mm-hmm. I completely, like, mentally shut down, and couldn't get it at all to my performance levels that I would normally be able to. And how I got out of all that was with the help from my family in the first place. Mm-hmm. Obviously, my wife, my dad, my sisters. We had to go through that time, talk a lot. And the second most important thing is to have professional help and talk through it and get to work with a mental coach for the first time. And I'm ever since working with this guy, and I think it completely opened a new world of how to deal with setbacks, how to overcome difficult situations in sport, in life in general. So it was the best decision to search for help and find it in a professional way.
You know, I applaud you, Patrick, because in my mind, you know, and we all know setbacks and failures and whatever, they teach you something. But if you don't learn from it, you're going to go backwards. But I think you're learning from it in a big way, being able to go forward. So in saying that, I was just thinking about it. My gosh, Ironman Frankfurt this year is going to be one hell of a race for you. Mm-hmm. You're in front of your hometown. You've got the history there. And maybe or maybe not something to prove, but racing in front of your home country has to be one of the most gratifying things there is, isn't it?
It is definitely. And you are absolutely right. I want to prove the point that there I going into this race with really, really high ambitions and high motivation. My best position in Frankfurt is the third place. So I really want to do better. And also now with Jan and Sebi retired, I'm kind of the only one left from our generation. I think there's going to be a huge, it's going to be a huge spectacle on course. So comes with a fair amount of pressure, of course, but I'm super looking forward for it. I really can't wait to race there and maybe give my mom another present.
That kind of present, huh? I love that. You, the other part of that question is when we were talking about Nice, now you're in Kona, the men are in Kona, the women are in Nice. You know that Nice course very well. How do you think the women are going to do in Nice?
Great, obviously. So it is, I was maybe the biggest critic in putting the race to Nice because as a Kona champion, you really, I still love the Kona course. And in my mind, in my opinion, the world championship belongs to Kona. It have always been there. And on the other hand, I have to say, after racing Nice, I kind of changed my mind. Still thinking that the world championships belongs to Kona. And I also think we should still have women and men racing together in Kona. That's still is my opinion. But the race in Nice, if you do it outside of Kona, you do it there. The spectators, especially on the run course, are amazing. This is by far the best run course experience I ever had. And I just...
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
Absolutely. Because it's a four-lap course. And actually, you have spectators along all the way because it's out and back 5k and there are spectators anywhere so it's they really push you so I enjoyed running in Nice a lot, so that's what the girls can really look forward to. And it's it is a great race to participate, definitely.
Patrick, how do you think, as you being a part of our sport for so long, how do you think our sport is doing? How do you think triathlon's doing? You know, you've got different factions, obviously, the PTO, the T100, you've got Ironman, you've got Challenge, you've got Roth. There's all these different factions, which I love because I think it helps the sport grow. We want more people to come into our sport. But how do you think our sport's doing with all of that?
Better than ever, I think. Especially for the professional side of things, I couldn't think of a better time of being professional, to be honest, because the competition inside of the professional racing with Ironman Pro Series, with Raws, with T100, we can see it leveled up. The competition big time. So you can be sure if you want to win a professional race, you really have to be a really, really good athlete. So I think it's great. I think it's developing in the right way. And also the PTO and everything they have brought to the sport, I can feel that it also elevated Ironman. I don't know if they would say it like this, but for me, I have the feeling that the Ironman company is heading in a really good direction. funny enough, the Ironman team, so the Ironman Europe team was here with all the race organizers of every European race, was just in my hotel like a couple of days ago, and I had the chance to talk to them, and I said, you really feel that you're heading in the right direction, and the changes that the company have made over the last 5 years. I mean, you can see it in social media. Everything got better. The communication got better. Mm-hmm. The races are, in my mind, in my opinion, better organized. And so this is what the competition did to the sport. It just elevated things, and I'm happy to see where it's going.
I agree, and I think the future is very bright. You probably right now wish you were like a 27-year-old pro with what's going to be going on the next, you know, and have a lot more years racing.
I have still. I mean, honestly, I feel that I have at least 4 years, 3 to 4 years of racing in front of me, and the time when I was racing, it was also good fun. I mean, it was not that. You know, the racing was not interesting, and I'm proud to have been part of a hugely successful German generation. You know, because together we the three of us, Jan, Sebi, and I, I think we were unbeaten for 6 or 7 years. And this created a huge attention, especially in Germany. So Jan and I, we became sports personalities of the year among all those, you know, famous soccer players, all those you know, Formula One drivers, and Dirk Nowitzki's of this world. And we, you know, triathletes became the sports personality of the year. So I think just on only together we were able to create and promote the sport, to create the hype and promote the sport in the way that we did. So I think it's all good.
I think it's very good. And I think what you and Jan and Sebi have set up, hopefully, for the future of German triathletes is maybe there's a 16-year-old out there, male or female, inspired by you that one day will be a world champion. I you should be very proud of that. Yeah, very proud of that. You know, Patrick, we always have a lot of new people and first timers coming into the sport to do triathlon for the first time. What they always love hearing. You know, they need as much advice as they can get because they're new. What advice would you give someone who's coming into the sport or doing their first triathlon this year or doing their first challenge or Ironman race? What advice would you give them?
After my Ironman Portugal experience, where I missed my the entry of my transition, I say, go and check the transition flow. yeah, some of you might know it. It's a long story, but I kind of messed up. I mean, that happens even the experienced pros. So I think the training along the way, enjoy the process, set yourself goals that are realistic, and don't get so caught up in data. Just you know, take your time, don't overdo it, don't run so many kilometers in carbon shoes because they're faster, you know. Take a coach, get advice from people that know triathlon, and do the basics right. I think in this time or in today's generation, we can get up, get really caught up in those, you know, last 5% and forget about the basics. Yeah. So really, really get the basics right and don't overthink if you're pushing 5 or 10 watts more or less and this and that. And, you know, just the consistency in your training is key. And I also think, you know, find a race that really fires you up and gives you goosebumps. This is, I think, these are the most important tips I can give to beginners. Yeah.
Great advice. Well, one of my last questions, Patrick, on Find Your Finish Line is called Tri-Table Racing. I pulled it out of the Baja 1000 in Mexico here, where I have friends that race cars and trucks through the Baja 1,000 miles. And they sit around afterwards, sit around the table and call it table racing. So I call this tri-table racing to reminisce about something that happened to you at an event that you want to tell us about. I almost want you to tell me about the Portugal. I don't know if I remember that story. So if you want to tell that story, that would be a great one.
Oh, yeah. So it's... yeah, so now I can laugh about it, but I had
a
discussion on the run course with my wife, I can tell you. So I was doing Ironman Portugal, this last race of last year in 23, and had a good swim, had an okay bike ride, and really was in contention with my usual run to get another Ironman victory, which would be super great to end the year on a high. And everything was set up to be a good day until it wasn't. So I ended my 180K a bike ride, and because it was a race with 70.3 and Ironman race in the same race, I was finishing the bike ride in a group of 70.3 bike riders. So I was in this, you know, on the last 50 meters towards the entry of the transition area, I was looking at my cycling shoes and opening up my cycling shoes, and I was just rolling with them, and ended up in. So I dismounted, I ran into the transition, and I was looking for start number one, you know, for the wreck with the number one. So I keep running and running and running and running, and I shouted, "Where's number one? Where's number one? I cannot find one." And everyone was looking at me. I was like, "One, just 1,000 upwards, you know, what are you doing?" And I was keeping running and running, and I could not, like, it's a nightmare. I couldn't find my rack. I couldn't find my,
oh.
I couldn't find it. I simply couldn't find it. And so I was stopping and talking to this official, and he was like, "What's your number?" I said, "One." And he was like, "Man, your transition, you were just literally, you were driving by your transition. It's 1 kilometer down the road." So I was running barefoot with my bike in my hand, and I was running to the transition. I think I lost 8 or 9 minutes in transition simply because I was not paying attention of my entry in the transition area. So yeah, it was really a big mess. And so I learned that I will have a close look into transition flow for the next races.
Well, one day I want to hear the story about the conversation you had with Julia when you were out on the run.
Oh,
I don't know if we'll be able to talk about that publicly on the air. No. I just can imagine.
But on the other hand, I have to say, hats off to Julia that she kept supporting me. You know, she really kept me in the race, and I said, "What the FFS going on here?" And the day is over and everything is bad and I'm such an idiot and I want to go home. And she was like, no, man, you're gonna fucking finish this race. And I will kick your ass if you are not going up. And I was like screaming at her, I don't want her anymore. And that's such a shit show. And I'm such an idiot when I was running. So, great support by her. And, you know, I finished the race. I finished what I started. And I think that's in the end what really counts. And also got a lot of love from the community for finishing such a bad day, you know, kept going. And I think sometimes that's even more worth than maybe the next victory.
Yeah, you know, that's one of the biggest lessons of life. Finish what you start, because it's a great example to yourself and a great example to others. Patrick, you are, you know, obviously I've met a lot of professionals and call friends during my career. And I'll tell you what, you have some of the highest class I've ever met. You're a classy person. You're downright. You're humble. You've got a good heart and a good soul. And we are honored to have you as part of our sport. And I wish you nothing but the best of luck from Oceanside all the way through the year. And that podium is calling for you in Kona. I can just feel it.
Thanks, my brother. That's really, really nice words. I appreciate it. And I can also give that back to you. I think the moments that we had on our finish lines were so special, so amazing. And I thank you from the bottom of my heart for everything that you have done for the sport. And for me in particular, thanks. You're a good
human. Thank you very much, Patrick. Thank you. And thanks. And always the best aloha spirit with you. Thank you very much for being on Find Your Finish Line, Patrick Lange. It's a pure joy. And I know we're all going to be watching you like crazy this year. So the best of luck out there. Race fast, race well. Aloha.